So we continue along our narrative journey of the Bible, and we have been in the Gospel of Matthew. If you're a regular attender, hopefully you're very aware of this and the importance of Matthew in our journey in telling us about what the kingdom of God looks like for us each and every day, especially as we think about now, in the present. How do these words, these parables, how do they fill us and our lives today? So as we think about this parable today from chapter 20, it's one that you might be familiar with. Our prayer of confession today kind of put it all out there and put it together well. As we think about what does it mean to be generous, to be compassionate, to be thoughtful, like God teaches us. So listen for God's word today. From chapter 20, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 16, and if you want to read along with me, it's on page 801 in your Bible. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. At about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we know that as we have just sung, you are coming, and it is our call to prepare your church, to be the church. Help us, God, as we listen for this message for our lives. Help us to take away those hurdles, the roadblocks that keep us from loving others the way that you do. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. So this week in our staff meeting, Pastor Dan was leading the devotional for us. And he often will read the text of what the sermon is going to be to help out both of us, right, as preachers. So this week, our help came from not a usual source. We have a new custodian on staff, Ben. He's been with us for a few months, and Ben is what you would call a very quiet soul. It's rare that he says much. And so as we were reflecting and offering up our great wisdom on this text, Ben said nothing. And so I looked over at him and I said, Ben, do you have any thoughts on this parable that Pastor Dan read? And with a straight face, he looked at me and he said, well, I met a custodian this past weekend, and that custodian makes twice as much money as I do. And I believed every word of what he said, because he said it with this straight face, calmly, and my heart just stopped. What? Really? I didn't know how to react to this unfairness, right? I got to call the personnel committee. What is going on? Finally, I got a hold of myself, and I looked at him, and I said, are you kidding? He said, yeah, I'm kidding. He pulled a good one, right? But as that day went on, and when I laid my head on the pillow that night, I thought about my reaction to what he said. The sense of, oh no, what am I doing? As a head of staff, that one of my employees feels this way. I liked, right, this sense of being generous. That's kind of how we want to be. But then that sense of how do we make this world all go together when we're pulled in all different directions? When we have so many expectations and pressures on us to be the best there ever could be. When we're quick to look around us at what others are doing, their salaries, their vacations. Talk about a week to have envy, right? When we're here in Waterloo and people are getting on planes and cars and going all over for their spring break, and here we are. That sense of FOMO, if you're familiar with that term, fear of missing out. And the extent to what we go to try to be the best and to have more. Think about just the last 7 days. Think about the college, the scandal, and these parents paying all this money, bribes, right, to get their kids into the best schools. Because my kid's better than your kid, they deserve this education. What have we come to? That's the kind of environment we've created. And even more seriously, what's happening continues to happen in this world when we pick out a certain group and we say, they don't deserve to live, and come up with all sorts of schemes to end the lives of others. It's pretty drastic. And as a preacher, it's pretty hard. It's hard on all of us, right, who want to be people of peace, who want to stand with our brothers and sisters and say, yes, we are peacemakers, we're one. But it doesn't take long. Well, I shop at Target, and they shop at Walmart. Ugh, gross. Even at a level of where we shop, we separate ourselves. So where's the good news, friends? It's right here. It's right here calling us back and saying to us, you're not alone. You're never alone in this walk, this journey of life. And because you're my child, Jesus says, you're enough. you're enough. Obviously, Jesus wants us to use our intellect, our brains, our emotion, our bodies, all that God has given us to build this kingdom. But not so we can edge out the other guy or the other girl. No. It's because God calls us back and says, there's enough. There's enough in this world for what you need, right? Maybe not what you want or think you have to have. Think about the three perspectives in this story. Obviously, we think a lot like the first one, right? Because we all work hard and we deserve it all. So it's easy for us to relate to that first worker that's been there all day. But then there is that second soul. We're not quite sure. Scriptures don't exactly tell us what was happening that day. Were they late? Were they not there when the day started to work? We don't know. But the point is that the manager gave that last person a chance to work and wanted to give them that fair day's wage. That is so crucial to this story, to think about how they reacted, that they were included in this kingdom. And then think about the landowner, the one that we all want to be, that sense of great generosity. Think about what it feels like to give with all that you have. I don't know about you, but often we're quick to grumble, right, at the end of a long day, or when we've studied really hard for a test, and we know the person next to us never studies, but they get the A. It's just not fair. We make assumptions, right, about how much is owed to us. I should receive this. I'm better than those people. There's an anonymous quote that says, assumptions are planned resentments. Assumptions are planned resentments. I thought that you would be this kind of friend. I thought you'd be there for me. And now I'm bitter. I thought that you would be this kind of parent. I thought you'd be there to provide for me, to give me wisdom, to give me love. And you weren't. I thought that you would be this kind of spouse. I thought you would take out the trash without me having to ask. Think about all of the assumptions we make. I can't tell you how many couples I've sat down with after the great joy of the wedding is over. Wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be. I assumed this would be a team. I assumed life would be great. No spouse, no friend, no parent, no child will ever, ever fill our soul. Only the Spirit of God fills us. And if we could accept that, rather than having all of these assumptions or expectations, think about the kingdom and what it would look like. Caroline Lewis, when she summarizes this parable, she says, you know what is so gracious about this parable is that Jesus persists in telling us the truth about ourselves. Jesus persists. He doesn't give up on us. We may feel like, oh, I've heard this parable so many times, or that preacher keeps saying the same thing. That's right. The same message has to be proclaimed. Jesus persists in telling us the truth about ourselves. And it's not to harass us or to be mean to us, but it's to give us hope that because we have the Spirit of God within us, we are capable of loving people that are different than us. So your question of the week on the cover as a reminder to us is to think about, what is it that causes me or us to limit our love towards others? What is it? Make a list. What is it that causes us to limit the love in our hearts? Each one has a different list, right? Maybe there's some that might be the same. But that is what building the kingdom of God looks like, is to figure out what it is in our hearts that's so bitter. And to go back to last week's sermon about forgiveness, making that room in our hearts that we increase the amount of love we have to give. Mary Stomies was a child that grew up in a home with 15 kids. Makes me tired just thinking about it, right? 9 girls and 6 boys, 1 bathroom. And she writes that there was so much bickering, fighting. He hit me first. She butted in line. And Mary's mom would say to them, did you say your prayers this morning? Did you pray for God's help? So I ask us, how do we live in a world where there's so much pain, disappointment, and violence? We don't give up. We don't turn our backs. We don't shut our eyes and say, oh, it doesn't apply to me. No. We turn again and again to the peacemaker, the one whose love has no limits. And we say, yes, I want to be on that team. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be a critic. I want to be a child of God. Let's pray. Lord, help us, inspire us, guide us. Thank you for loving us and modeling to us what it looks like to be grateful, to be generous. In your name we pray. Amen.